إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد Welcome all of you, and especially our noble sisters, because this is a class for them, on Wednesdays after Asr here at Masjid al-Tawheed in Stone Mountain, Georgia. From the book of Ummu Salama, Al-Intisar li Huquq al-Mu'minat, Supporting Rights of the Believing Women. I'm going to read from the book today, but then in the end of the class, we're going to mention something, inshallah. Ta'ala. We stopped at the page 25, the tahniq and naming. The tahniq and naming the child. Narrated in the hadith of Abi Burda on the authority of Abi Musa radiallahu anhu said, وُلِدَ لِي غُلَامٌ فَأَتَيْتُ بِهِ النَّبِيَّ صلى الله عليه وسلم فَسَمَّاهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَحَنَّكَهُ بِتَمْرَهُ. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, he says that when his wife gave birth to a boy, he took him to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He took him to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who named him Ibrahim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam named that child Ibrahim and did a tahniq for him with the dates. Indeed, a tahniq. Al-Bukhari added, and he supplicated to Allah to bless him and returned him to me, and he was the oldest of Abu Musa's children. A tahniq here is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they brought him a boy or a newborn baby. A newborn baby here is a boy. That the Prophet ﷺ will take a date, chew it, and then put a little bit of it in the mouth of that baby. Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala and others, they say, to seek the blessings, because the saliva of the Prophet ﷺ has blessings. Okay, so that they used to bring their babies to the Prophet ﷺ because of so that the saliva of the baby, he gets the saliva of the Prophet ﷺ actually through that date that was chewed by the Prophet ﷺ. And for this reason, Shaykh al-Albani and others than him, they say that this is only for the Prophet ﷺ. Some others, like Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, they mention, and other scholars, they mention that the reason behind doing chewing a date is that so that the sweetness be the first thing to end in the belly of the newborn baby. Allahu A'lam. On the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, said Abu Talha had a child who was sick. Abu Talha is the companion, the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he has a son who was sick. Once while Abu Talha was out, the child died. Okay, Abu Talha was away on a journey or so, and the baby died. He didn't know. So when he came back, when he returned home, he asked his wife, "How does my son feel? And how is he now?" Ummu Sulaim, his wife, replied, "He is quieter than he has ever been." Because the boy has died, you know. She didn't tell him he died. The man, he just came from a long journey. She didn't tell him, "Oh, the baby died." So she said to him, "He is quieter than he has ever been." And she chose to do this because she wants, first of all, to take care of her husband who just came, who returned home. And we learn from this, as the ulama, when they explain this hadith, that the woman, even if she has to talk to her husband about certain things, she should not just as soon as at the door, she tell him those things. Because rather, she wait for him until he settle down, and if he's hungry, he can eat and get some rest. Then talk to him about those matters. Some sisters, as soon as the man, he's by the door, wow, your son did that, this and this, and the neighbors did this and this and this, this happened. The man, he's hungry, he's tired, he may not even be thinking right. So here is a Sahabiya Jalila, the son died, but she's waited. She served him dinner, he ate, and that night he enjoyed her as a man enjoy his wife. And when that was happened, then she informed him about the death of the baby. And she told him that you have to bury your son now, who died. Of course, Abu Talha, he was surprised why his wife didn't tell him at the first. So he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the morning. Abu Talha went to the Messenger of Allah in the morning and told him, informed him about what happened. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him, "A'arastum al-layla?" قال نعم. قال اللهم بارك لهما فولدت غلاما أو فولدت لو كان المتكلم أم سليم. فقال لي أبو طلحة احمليه حتى تأتي به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم أمعه شيء؟ قالوا نعم تمرات. فأخذها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فمضغها ثم أخذها من فيه فجعلها في في الصبي أي في فمه ثم حنكه وسماه عبد الله متفق عليه. The Prophet ﷺ, he asked him, he says, anything happened between the two of you that night? He says, yes. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he said, may Allah bless you two with a child. So a baby was born. So Abu Talha said to her, carry him until you reach the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ said, does he have anything with him? They said, yes, some dates. Therefore the Prophet ﷺ took it, he chewed it in his mouth, and then put it in the child's mouth and did a tahniq and named him Abdullah. So once again, as we mentioned, the tahniq, the Prophet ﷺ, yes, he used to perform the tahniq. The ulama, they differ whether this is specific for the Prophet ﷺ or only for him alone, or still the parents themselves, they can do it, the father, or take it to a righteous person to do it. Likewise, from this narration, once again, our sisters, they learn from the example of this great companion, female companion, and how that the right of the husband is a great right. So even if she has something to tell her husband, she should choose the right time. Especially if he's coming back home, tired and this, usually with that, a long journey, maybe he's have a headache, maybe he's sick, maybe he's hungry, maybe. So first, she let the man get some rest, ask him if he needs to eat, and then take care of him and see if he needs anything. And then after that, she can talk to him about what had happened and if anything had happened. And of course, the way of the companions is the best way. As the ulama, they say, وَكُلُّ خَيْرٍ فِي اتِّبَاعِ مَنْ سَلَفْ. The good, all good is in following the Salaf, those who came before us. The Salaf is the companions of the Prophet ﷺ in the first place. We are commanded to follow their example, the companions, male and female. Likewise, our sisters in Islam, they should follow the example of the Sahabiyat, the female companions, radiallahu anhum. Now the preference of the aqiqah, On the authority of Yusuf ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, that they came to Hafsa bint Abd al-Rahman and asked her about the aqiqah. فأخبرتهم أن عائشة أخبرتها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرهم عن الغلام شاتان مكافئتان وعن الجارية شات. So she told them that Aisha رضي الله عنها told her that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered them to sacrifice two sheep for a boy and one for a girl. So the sunnah in the aqiqah, which some of the people of knowledge, they say that the aqiqah actually, the better name for it is nasika. Nasika, noon, seen, ya, kafta, nasika, instead of aqiqah. And the following hadith will explain why. So here, she informed Aisha radiallahu anha, she informed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam command them, meaning the companions, to slaughter two sheep for a boy and one for a girl. On the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma, who said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the aqiqah, so he said, لا يحب الله العقوق كأنه كره الاسم. فقيل لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما نسألك أحدنا يولد له قال من أحب أن ينسك عن ولده فلينسك عنه عن الغلام شاتان مكافئتان وعن الجارية شات. So when they ask, some people they come ask the Prophet ﷺ about the aqiqah, the Prophet ﷺ says Allah does not like ungratefulness. The narrator says as if the Prophet ﷺ dislike the word aqiqah. As if the Prophet ﷺ disliked this term aqiqah, because he came from uquq, being ungrateful and dutiful and the like uquq al-walidain. Okay? And the Prophet ﷺ, then it was said to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, what we're asking you actually is, what should we do when one of us have a baby born? When some of us have a baby, what should we do? Then the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever wishes to sacrifice for him, then sacrifice. Meaning for him or for her. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, for a boy, two sheep, and for a girl, one. You know, so two animals. Two sheep for a baby boy. If a person have a baby boy, they sacrifice two sheep, two animals. And if it's the newborn is a baby girl, then they sacrifice one animal, one sheep. At-Tirmidhi narrated from the way of Al-Hasan on the authority of Samura radiallahu anhu, who said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Ghulamu murtahinun bi'aqiqatihi يذبح عنه يوم السابع ويسمى ويحلق رأسه. The boy is pledged with his aqiqah. Sacrifice for him on the seventh day after his birth and name him and shave his head. First of all, I'll share with you something that from the statement of Sheikh Ibn Baz, Abd al-Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was asked once, how do we determine the seventh day? Do we count the day that the baby is born or not? We start next day. The sheikh says, no, you count that day when the baby is born. Unless if the baby is born after Maghrib, then you count the next day. For example, if a baby is born on Monday morning, afternoon, you count that day. So Monday is the first, then, so therefore the seventh be Sunday. But the Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahu ta'ala, he says, but if the baby is born after Maghrib, or by Isha, or after Isha, then you count the next day. You count the next day, okay? If a baby born on Maghrib, after Maghrib, between Maghrib and Isha, or an Isha time, for example, on Monday, then you count Tuesday. And therefore, the seventh day will be Monday. The meaning of pledged here with his aqiqah is that he is endowed with intercession for his parents. And the word rahan, which means pledge, in Arabic means habs, which means endow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Muddathir, that's chapter 74, ayah 38, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ رَهِينَةٌ. Every soul is a pledge for what he has earned. And then it was mentioned some things here. I read the translation and it didn't make a lot of things to me. I skipped this paragraph, and that's why I mentioned something in the beginning that we're going to stop. This is going to be the last class actually from this book. Because as I was reading the book, there is a lot of mistakes in the Arabic text and also in the English translation. And that's what the brother told me, the publisher actually, they says they revising it, alhamdulillah, and they waiting for the new book. With and as he told me himself, he said there is some mistakes and stuff. And so there is quite a few mistakes. So as I was reading in the book, So inshallah ta'ala, we do our best today, inshallah ta'ala. Al-Allama al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, says, Al-Aqiqa is sunnah, and it is sacrificing for the newborn child. He says, it is sunnah. Buraida narrated that the Prophet ﷺ performed it for Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, they are the two grandsons of the Prophet ﷺ. Their mother is Fatima radiallahu anha, and their father is Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anha. Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, and they are the best of the youth of the Jannah. So Buraida narrated the Prophet ﷺ performed the aqiqa, or nasika, for Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn radiallahu anhuma. And it is not obligatory based on what was narrated by Abdullah ibn Abi Sa'id from his father, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ was asked about al-aqiqah, the nasika, and he said, لا أحب العقوق ومن ولد له ولد فأحب أن ينسك له فليفعل. I do not like ungratefulness. Whoever is given a child and wishes to sacrifice for it, then let him do so, let him sacrifice. So therefore, he linked the aqiqah to whoever wishes, whoever desires that, whoever wishes, which is a proof that it is not obligatory. And then there is another paragraph here that I don't know what connection he has with what we said before. That's why I left it alone. Another subtitle, the obligation of giving sustenance to daughters. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu informed us that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْضَلُ الصَّدَقَةِ مَا تَرَكَ غَنِيٌّ وَالْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْيَدِ السُّفْلَى وَابْدَأْ بِمَنْ تَعُولُ. The best charity is that which is left by the rich. And the hand that gives is better than the hand that receives or takes. And start with your dependents. And start with your dependents. And then she mentioned here a statement that later on, it is from Abu Hurairah, not a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. As Abu Hurairah says, the woman says, feed me or divorce me. Explaining the importance of taking care of the people who are your dependents. Wife, children, parents, family members, and the like. That a person should take care of them. A person do not neglect. Some people, they neglect their own family members. And then they look into to take care of somebody else. they are nice and kind to foreigners. People, they looking for somebody to take care of and spend on them and take care of them, while they neglect their own family, wife, children, parents, and the like. So he says, for example, a woman who is neglected, she will say to her husband, feed me or divorce me. Take care of me or divorce me. The slave says, feed me or and use me. If someone has a slave, he says, well, you want to just use me, but you got to feed me too. The son says, feed me to whoever is gentle with me. I don't understand that statement. The people said, O Abu Huraira, you heard this from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He says, no, that is from the pocket of Abu Huraira. On the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خَيْرُ الصَّدَقَةِ مَا كَانَ عَنْ ظَهْرِ غِنًا وَابْدَأْ بِمَنْ تَعُولُ. The best charity is that which is from the most prized wealth, and began with your dependents. Once again, this narration that is Sahih al-Bukhari highlights the fact that a person should take care of his dependents, that a person should take care of his family, and that a person should do, and he should look at it this way. But unfortunately, you find certain people, they don't do these things. They don't want to find a job. And he tell his wife, you go find a job. While him, he's not making any efforts to find a job. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. Some people are not wise with their money. They get the money, they have a job, but then they don't. They do other things with it. They still into this dunya. They still, he wants more jackets, more shoes, more rims. And then when it comes to paying the rent, oh, now he's going to come to the community. Oh, can you help me out? His wife is calling the masjid. We have no food. But the man driving a nice car, changing rims, nice clothing, jackets and stuff, but still his family calling and complaining. Or they facing eviction. Every other month they facing eviction. Those men have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's obligatory upon them to take care of their dependents. Worse than that, you find some of those brothers, now he doesn't take care of his wife and children, now he's having sit-downs, he wants to have another wife. They have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take care of their families to the best of their abilities. Of course, the ulama, they says, take care of the families, meaning the necessities. What is necessary for them? A place to live and the heat, of course. If they live in an area where it's very cold, he's not going to tell them, listen, the heat is not necessity. Yes, it is necessity. Why? You want them to freeze in the cold? Food, necessary food, and clothing. Okay? So this is very important. And also the women, they should understand this. They should not put a burden on the man. Now you gotta give me a better place, a better furniture, a better this, better that. No. You know the abilities of the man you choose to be with. Insha'Allah ta'ala. The merit of this sustenance. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا أَنْفَقَ الْمُسْلِمُ نَفَقَةً عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ وَوَ يَحْتَسِبُهَا كَانَتْ لَهُ صَدَقَةً. If a Muslim gives sustenance to his family and he is content in doing so, then it is charity for him. This word content, actually يَحْتَسِبُهَا مَيَعْنِ يَحْتَسِبُ الْأَجْرُ. Meaning now that the more appropriate translation, if a Muslim gives sustenance to his family, meaning take care of his family, spend on them, take care of them, and seek the reward from Allah by that, then it is counted for him as a charity. Count for him as a charity. On the authority of Amir ibn Sa'd, on the authority of his father, radiallahu anhu, who said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was visiting me, meaning Sa'd, in Mecca when I was sick. Sa'd, he resides in Mecca and he was sick, and the Prophet ﷺ visited him. And he said, Sa'd said, لي مال أوصي بمالي كله قال لا قلت فالشطر يعني النصف قال لا قلت فالثلث قال الثلث والثلث كثير إنك إن تدع ورثتك نت ورثتك ورثتك أغنياء خير من أن تدعهم عالة يتكففون الناس في أيديهم ومهما أنفقت فهو لك صدقة حتى اللقمة في امرأتك ولعل الله يرفعك ينتفع بك ناس ويضر بك آخرون. So Sa'd رضي الله عنه, he asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to him, I have wealth. May I give away all of it as a charity for the sake of Allah? So he gave all of it. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, no, don't give all of your wealth in charity. I said half of it. Sa'd said, what about half? Can I give? It's okay for me to give a half of my wealth in charity? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, no. Then Sa'd says, what about a third of my wealth in charity? He says, a third, and a third is a lot. Yes, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, okay, you can give a third, but still a third is a lot. And then the Prophet ﷺ explained to him something. He said to him, verily, if you make your dependents rich, the people that will inherit you, the people you leave behind, make them rich, is it better than if you made them needy, begging from people? Meaning you have money, you leave it for your dependents. That's better for them than you spend all of it on charity, and then they would go and ask the people, can you help me? Can you give me? Can you do this? Can you do that? And then the Prophet ﷺ said to him, whenever you give your wealth, it is charity. Even the morsel that you put in the mouth of your wife, even the food that the wife eats, that's charity for the man. It is as if Allah benefits some people by you while harming others by you. It's in Bukhari and Muslim. On the authority of Thawban radiallahu anhu, who said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أفضل دينار ينفقه الرجل أفضل دينار ينفقه الرجل دينار ينفقه على عياله ودينار ينفقه الرجل على دابته في سبيل الله عز وجل ودينار ينفقه على أصحابه في سبيل الله. The best dinar, a dinar is a currency. If you say like the best dollar, for example, the best dirham, a dinar is money. The best money, if you want to say, the best dinar that a man can spend is the dinar that a man spend on his dependents. That's the best. Spend on your family members. Paying the rent, if you pay rent. Make sure if they need the food is ready for them. And they're not starving. They have clothing, alhamdulillah, for winter, clothing for summer. And not to go to extravagance, of course. And they have furniture to sleep on, to sit on, not to go to extravagance and the like. The bills are paid, the electricity. Now they have electricity, and then for 3 months, no electricity. The roof leaking, all that. No. The best dinar that a man can spend is the dinar that a man spend on his dependents. And the dinar that a man spends on his animal for the sake of Allah, and the dinar that he spends on his companions for the sake of Allah. These are the best spending. So as you see now, you find certain people, subhanAllah, they spend the wealth that Allah has given them on something that doesn't bring them benefit, and yet sometimes they spend that in haram. In gambling, for example. Some men, they take the rent money and then they gamble with it. وَالْعِيَادَ بِاللَّهِ. They take the whole paycheck, that a portion of it is supposed to go to rent, a portion to food, a portion to the bills. They take it and gamble with it. Or buy haram with it, intoxicants and the like. Some men still paying for cable. DirecTV, and all that. Al-Iyadu Billah. Wasting the ni'mah of Allah. And when his children wants a shoe, I don't have it. Why? Because DirecTV have it. No, DirecTV, they have no right over you, man. Your children do. Your wife do. The wife, she wants, she's been begging for a while for something, you know, a math book for her children. A math book, ya ikhwan. She wants to buy some books, some literatures for her children so she can do some work with them, some books about the seerah. No, he don't have that money, but he have money for I don't know, for pay-per-view, name it, sports and stuff. This man has to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you take care of your family first. And then take care of your ride. You have a ride, that's how you go to work, that's how you go to the masjid, you gotta take care of that too. And then you take care of your family, your friends, the people. If they need, mashallah, be generous. Invite them over a dinner, over a coffee, over lunch, and the like. Abu Qilaba, radiallahu anhu, said, begin with your dependents. Then he said, which person gets a greater reward than the person who gives sustenance to his young dependents? Is virtue to them. Or Allah benefits them by him and he makes them rich. Especially now if those dependents, they're little. Especially those who are little ones. They can't go and work and take care of themselves. So it is more, responsibility is greater. At least if somebody have grown-up children, and they have maybe jobs or something, they can go and do some work. Even if they don't have a job, they still go to school, but they are 19, 20, 21, for example, they may go and shovel, they may go and do some work, they may go and do something, sell some water in the next corner, they may make some money. Still, they don't have to if they have a father that should take care of them. But we're just saying, just in case if this happened. But those who are like 3 months, baby 3 months, 3 years old, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 maybe, who are they going to go? Are they going to go and work outside? No. So a person have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, dinarun anfaqtahu fi sabilillah. ودينار أنفقته في رقبة ودينار تصدقت به على مسكين ودينار أنفقته على أهلك أعظمها أجرا الذي أنفقته على أهلك. A dinar that you give for the sake of Allah and a dinar that you give to sustain or to free a slave. He said to sustain his slave, actually fi raqaba, meaning to free a slave. And a dinar that you give in charity to the poor and the needy. And a dinar that you give to your family, meaning you spend. You spend in your family by taking care of them. Make sure that they're okay. They've been taken care of. The one that gets the most reward is the one which you spend on your family. The one that gets the most reward is the one that you spend on your family. On the authority of Haythama, who said, we were sitting with Abdullah ibn Amr when Qahraman came to him, entered and said, did you give your slaves their sustenance? Did you give your slaves their sustenance? He says, no. He said, go and give it to them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ إِثْمًا أَنْ يَحْبِسَ عَمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ قُوتَهُ وَلَيْسَ قُوتَهُ. The man is sufficient as a sinner if he keeps the sustenance away from those who is binding upon him to feed them, not the power, like it was a miss. Translation here. It's not a good translation because this qut. Qut in Arabic means food and sustenance, not quwwah. Maybe the translator, mashallah, didn't see it. Allahu al-musta'an. After that, the permissibility of kissing daughters and joking with them. This is not just for daughters, but also for boys and girls. If a man have children, yes, he can kiss them and play with them and have fun with them. Okay? On the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, who said, some desert people, meaning the people that came from the desert, the Bedouin, came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked them, تُقَبِّلُونَ سِبْيَانَكُمْ. They asked, actually, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was a question actually for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. تُقَبِّلُونَ سِبْيَانَكُمْ فَقَالُوا نَعَمْ فَقَالُوا وَاللَّهِ لَكِنَّمَا نُقَبِّلْ فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَوَ أَمْلِكُ إِنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ نَزَعَ مِنْ قُلُوبِكُمْ الرَّحْمَةِ. This Bedouin, they came and they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions, says, do you kiss your children? They said yes. The companion says, yes, we kiss our children. The Bedouins, they said, by Allah, we do not kiss our children. So the Prophet ﷺ said, there is nothing that I can do if Allah takes the mercy from your hearts. So it is a mercy from Allah that a person kiss his children, play with them, hug them, and the like. And this, by the way, is not just for the mother. No, it's for both. Yes, Mother Day they do it more often because more, it's like the kids are more attached to their children, to their mothers than to the father, for one simple fact. The mother, especially if the mother stays home and doesn't go to work, so that the babies, when they wake up, they find her in front of them and they see her. She's the one that change them and feed them and play with them, and if they sick, she's the one that took them in her lap, she's the one that put them to sleep, she's the one that, and all these things. And the father, he goes to work, so maybe when he go early in the morning and the children are still asleep, and some of them, they even come and those children are already asleep, which is not good for them. And yet some father, they may complain, why these children are attached to you and not attached to me? Spend some more time with them and they will be attached to you too. Because children, they don't know those things. Oh, they like you more than me. They don't. Those children, they don't know that stuff. Just spend some more time with them and play with them, alhamdulillah, and be around them. They will like you too. On the authority of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissed Al-Hasan. I just want to share something with you that happened with me. When my son Abdullah was maybe 6 months. 6 months. Okay, June, July, August. Maybe, yeah, 5, 6 months like that. And mashallah, and then I went for Umrah. It was Ramadan. I went to Umrah. This is like 6 years and a half ago. I went for Umrah and stayed there for 6 weeks. 6 weeks, alhamdulillah. Spent Ramadan in there. Came back. The boy don't know me. SubhanAllah. I'm like, come, he cries. He see me, he cries. I even said to my wife, what did you do to him? She's like, I didn't do nothing to him. She said, remember, you've been away for 6 weeks. Babies, they don't remember that. It took like 2 weeks for the baby to recognize me again. And I'm going to tell you, at that time, I really felt it, you know, I got mad. How, mashallah, I'm coming away and I'm 6 weeks away from the baby. And then now the baby, when he even see me cry, don't want to come to me or nothing. That's not his fault. But now I understand, you know, you got to spend time with them. So, alhamdulillah. Yeah, I forgave my wife, so mashallah. Tayyib. So on the authority of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed Al-Hasan ibn Ali, while Al-Aqra ibn Habis al-Tamimi were sitting. He was sitting nearby. So Al-Aqra ibn Habis said, I have 10 children, and I have never kissed any of them. Said, I have 10 children, I have never kissed any of them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and said to him, مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. Whoever is not merciful will not be shown mercy. Whoever is not merciful will not be shown mercy. From the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who said, we entered with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon Abi Saif al-Qayyin, and he was taking care of Ibrahim. As a result, he took Ibrahim, kissed him, and smelled him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took his son Ibrahim alayhi salam and kissed him and smelled him. On the authority of Al-Bara, who said, I entered with Abi Bakr upon his family, and Aisha radiallahu anha was laying down sick with a fever. Hence, I saw her father, meaning Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, kissed her cheek and say, how are you, my beloved daughter? How are you, my beloved daughter? On the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said, I never saw anyone that resembled the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more in character, manner, and disposition than Fatima radiallahu anha. Why she's saying this, she explained, she said, when she came to visit him, meaning when Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, came to visit him, he got up to welcome her, took her by the hand, kissed her, and made her sit where he was sitting. And when the Prophet ﷺ went to visit her, she got up to welcome him, and took him by the hand, kissed him, and made him sit where she was sitting. Allahu Akbar. On the authority of Abi Qatada, who said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out to us while Umama bint Abi al-As was on his shoulder. Then he prayed. When he bowed, min make ruku', he would put her down. And when he rose up from bowing, he would pick her up. All of this good care of the girls, the little girls and little boys. On the authority of Umama ibn Zayd, radiallahu anhu, Usama ibn Zayd, radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take me and sit me on his thigh, and sit al-Hasan on his other thigh, and then hug them and say, Allahumma arhamhuma, fa inni arhamhuma, O Allah, have mercy upon them as I have mercy upon them. Along others, and we stop here inshallah ta'ala for today. If you sisters have any questions inshallah ta'ala, please do so, send them, write them down and send them inshallah ta'ala. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.